Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is December 3rd, 2017.
Yay!
Episode 253, and we're back from delivering magazines of the December issue far and wide. Still more to do.
More wide and far to go.
Exactly. But tonight we have two guests, so we want to jump right into the podcast. And Don, if you would go ahead and introduce them before we start yakking with them.
Oh, it's Don Lloyd and Lorna Gaffney. There we go. Let me say some more about
it. A little more introduction, please.
A little more introduction, if you don't mind. Well, Lorna Gaffney is a member of the board of directors for Eden's Glory, and author Don Lloyd are joining us tonight. They've been around forever, around Greenville, the Greenvilleites and this area. And
yeah, they're not,
just love them.
They're not new to the area, but they're, I guess, the Don's first time on the podcast, and Lorna has been with us before.
Well, Don is the... one of the authors of Dream Boldly, and the recent and promising connection is what we're going to be talking about with, mm-hmm. with Dawn and Eden's Glory. Mm-hmm. Dawn and 31 other women contributors to Dream Boldly share their personal journeys of transformation. The women in the book have joined in a circle of lifting others up all over the planet. Dawn has graciously donated 20 books as a fundraiser to benefit Eden's Glory, a safe home and recovery program for female survivors of human trafficking, and that's Lorna's connection with Eden's Glory. So welcome, gals, and thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Don't you love being called gals? The older you get, the nicer gals sound, believe me.
Hello, ladies. How's that?
There you go. So anyway, we want to start with Dawn. If you will explain a little bit about how and why you got involved in this book, and then from there we'll talk about the connections you have with Eden's Glory.
Yes, I'm a survivor of domestic violence as a child. I grew up and married somebody like my father, and for 19 years I lived with domestic violence, raised three kids, and I got out, and I always had believed that was my lot in life. And once I got out, I started researching the brain, why these negative thoughts were happening, why this was my lot in life, and how I could change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching and finding who I truly was and what I was meant to do. But my whole life, I've had this passion. I just wasn't sure what it was. I knew I was to help people, but I wasn't sure. So through my research, I became a coach.
Like a life coach?
Yes, like mm-hmm. a life okay. coach. I wanted to help other people like me who believed that this was their lot in life, that they could do more. This wasn't that we have a choice, that our thoughts and words made a difference. And I wanted to figure out how to get rid of the negative thoughts, change the people I'm around. Because when you feel like a victim, you draw people in who will victimize you mm-hmm. and treat you in that way. Well, over the last year and a half, I've had the most amazing people in my life. I mean, it's just unbelievable. All over the world, in connection. And I couldn't even tell you how I came across this program that was called 100 Dreams in 10 Days. And I was pretty skeptical. And so I was offered the chance to do it, so I did it. And one of the things was I wanted to reach the people on the banks. There's people all over, but no matter what the case is, I wanted to reach people that no one else could reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working now on my book called Destined, the number 2, and Dawn, because the number 2 means we're never alone. So in order to make that kind of impact, I had to get out there and learn what I needed to learn to make this happen. And I always knew that if I was living this life, there had to be others. Uh-huh. I couldn't be the only one. So during this time, I got certified in Psyche, which aligns the conscious with the subconscious. And most of my journey has been about me, but helping others. So I'm not looking out there to pry into somebody's mind, something they don't want, but to understand that they are worth so much more, and there's so much that we can do that one person can make a big difference. And I wanted to see a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been part of the journey. But when I was getting certified in Psyche, I met another lady who was doing a training with Eden's Glory. And she told me about the program. I said, I want to check this out. And that's also how I met you and Don, was during that time I was in a writer's group to learn how to write my story. And the only reason I'm telling my story is to help others. Otherwise, I would not put it out there.
Well, and speaking of the writer's group that you were involved in, and now that you've joined in the workshops that we've been having for the Older Women's Legacy Program, you've been able to share with those women, and those women have been able to share with you, and we've taken some of those writings and put in the December issue of the Owl Creek Gazette, and you really do show how that journey has affected you and the empowerment that you want to share with other women. And I think your article in this month's issue does a good job of that.
Well, here's the funny thing of when you had that. I did it because I thought, you know, and it did. It helped me pull a lot of things from my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you go somewhere and you think that you're to help that person, sometimes it is you that gets helped.
Exactly.
So when I met those ladies, they were so fun. And I felt like I've known them forever, and mm-hmm. it was 5 weeks, one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I was so blessed by that. And their sense of humor and where they all come from was somewhere different. I learned so much, and I even told you, do not take this to heart if you don't see me writing a lot, because I was so busy taking it all in.
Right, you were absorbing from them, and it helped each of us. I think that's been a really exciting legacy, which is what the program was about in many ways.
And then when I did write was after I had to kind of filter it for a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would write something, and I end up even writing to my daughters and granddaughters, which is actually what the class was about.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got certified in Psyche and I did the training, it didn't work out for me to volunteer on the spots that they had, because I was pretty busy. I worked full time and I was learning. And I know people think as you get older, you don't learn as good. I can't get enough at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn it. You know, there's just not enough time what I needed to do. And so then my story in the book was called Healing Thyself. And it was about a surgery I had. And 4 doctors told me that they pretty much thought I was crazy. And if you know me, I'm very outspoken. So I tell them, this divine voice is telling me something's there. You got to keep looking. So nobody could find anything. Well, I finally got them to do an x-ray. And they found something major that I'd been born with that no doctor had ever found. And if I hadn't took the training in Psyche, I wouldn't have listened to that inner voice, because we have an ego, and then we have that divine voice. And it was that divine voice that it saved my life. And I had to really get out there and push for the surgery. So after the surgery, I had 2 surgeons. One backed out. The other came in and told me I was born with this. How could they have not found it in my age?
Mm-hmm.
And so once it was fixed, I was home on medical leave. And I didn't think I was good enough, which is common for anybody going through any kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I was contacted by the lady who did 100 dreams in 10 days and said, I've seen some of your writings. And she had been following me on Facebook. And or I don't really know if it was Facebook or with the program. But anyway, she was seeing what I was writing and asked me to write for. Well, all my writings are about abuse. So I was on medical leave. And
had time on your hands.
Yeah. So I missed three deadlines. I just couldn't do it. I was blocked. And then I finally sat down and wrote it. And then I lost it on my computer. So I thought, maybe it's not meant to be. You know, as a coach, and I'm teaching, listening to advice, maybe this is a sign. Well, then I sat down in about 15, 20 minutes. I wrote my story, sent it to her. She sent me back in about 20 minutes later and said, we want your story. And we stayed up three nights to get this book out there. And we get into a Zoom, and me and all the co-authors in that book have been close and support each other on what we want to do. They just came out and released Dream Boldly 2. It's Dream Boldly, I Dare You. And it's Manifesting Miracles. So it continues on. So now we got another 31. So there's 62 of us in there, and it might be a little more. But we support each other in the dreams. And that has been so important. And that's what we all want to do is to inspire the planet.
Well, let's see how we dovetail this together with Eden's Glory at this point. Lorna, the folks at Eden's Glory have got this Herculean task that as you've beset upon yourself, and you've got other chapters around the United States and around the world, right?
We do. So Eden's Glory is unique in that we're the only safe home that was birthed out of the Set Free movement.
Okay.
But we are a global organization that is promoting advocacy and awareness for human trafficking as a whole.
Let's see. Like I told you 2 years ago, I had no idea that there was even an issue with human trafficking in the United States. And wham, you threw the curtain open, and and there my brain was naked. I had no idea.
I'm so glad that I was able to do that. That's a big part of what we want to do is just educate people, make them more aware of how they can be involved if they choose to be, or at least know what to look for, whether they're buying items at the grocery store or seeing a sex trafficking situation.
Well, and one of the things that I think Jan and I have always tried to pride ourselves in is making connections. And I'm so happy that we have been able to make the connection between you, Don Lloyd, and you, Lorna Gaffney, to get your book sold by, and you're going to sell these books on Eden's Glory's website?
Yes, they actually are available now for pre-order on our website, which is very exciting. We are so thankful to you, Don, and you, Jan, for connecting Don us.
And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. It sounds like that off. But no, this is the way we do things, and that's what
absolutely.
It's about.
Exactly. That's one reason we started the Owl Creek Gazette, was we hoped we could build that voluntary community, people finding each other that either need each other or make a connection that benefits their life somehow. And we have been enriched ourselves by who all we get to meet through those connections and what all we've learned from you ladies and everyone that's been a guest on the podcast. I mean, we go away going, we didn't know that, or wow, that's really cool. And it's exciting to be able to share that. So when Dawn and I were talking about so much of her interest, and then you had that connection earlier with taking some of the trainings, it was like, boy, this is a wonderful fit. And you came in, Dawn, one day and said, I'm inspired to give these 20 books. I've listened to that inner voice, and somehow we need to make that happen. And so I connected you guys up on Facebook, and you've been chatting and working out the details with that. So
what's new at Eden's Glory?
Exactly.
So the last time we saw each other was in 2014. Is that right?
I think so.
Isn't that terrible? It's been that long ago.
So that's 3 years ago, which means we weren't even open yet. So we're open.
And, you know, it's exciting that you say that you're the only organization or chapter out of that bigger movement that has had the house be a reality. How unique and wonderful is that?
It's unbelievable still, even though we've been open for 2 years now. We celebrated our second anniversary in September of this year. The founder of the movement, Kevin Austin, who's based in Washington State, had come and visited our team and saw what we were doing and was really excited about it. And he said, you know, you have a great opportunity for a safe home. And we went, I don't know about that. That sounds like terrifying. And yet within a year, we had been gifted property and we had some staff lined up and funding was coming in, and we opened our doors. And we've been able to invest in seven women in those 2 years. which is very exciting.
That's incredible.
It really is. And how do those women find you or you find them?
We have a set of partnerships around the country that are referral agencies. So we have a big partnership out of Atlanta that they will actually rescue women off of the streets when they're, if they're ready to go. And they have temporary housing. And then if women are interested in a permanent program, Eden's Glory is one of the options that they are presented with. We also have worked with the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, I think an organization out of Chicago as well. So there's just different places around the country that know who we are, know what we do, and are willing to work with us if that's what's best for the individual woman. We do have an application process and kind of a screening process. Our executive director meets with them via Skype or what have you, just to make sure that the fit makes sense for both us as an organization and the individual who's wanting to come.
Well, and whether to the human psyche, abuse is abuse.
Sure.
The source, it doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot because it's abusive. The result of the abuse is going to always be the same. There's going to be a battered person involved, whether it comes from inside like you, Don, or the assistance that you're rendering here. I'm beside myself here.
Well, anytime there's physical abuse, there's that emotional abuse that is attached to that. And I'm sure you've seen that in your program and you've experienced that in your life. And the connection earlier on, you said you wanted to make sure, Don, that you don't take away anything from the serious nature of human trafficking. But there is that shared understanding of abuse. So absolutely, that's another connection there, too.
See, I'd like to also make people aware. I studied the sex trafficking, and I want to make people aware so that if a mother is mother herself or her children is at a station, let's be aware. If she turns away for a minute, keep an eye. Does something not look right? You know, I just think together, this planet, we could step in and do something with violence. But it's not just going to take an organization. It's going to take us as individuals, too, to step up.
Absolutely.
And that's really what I want to do. That's my passion. Mm-hmm. That's where my heart is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I even examine small things like, you know, husbands and wives have arguments. I mean, everywhere from the Lockhorns to even people that you never think would have
really
arguments.
Done.
We had a kerfuffle yesterday.
We've decided to call our battles kerfuffles. It sounds so much nicer.
And when we never throw anything, but we sure want to. But you know, abuse takes so many forms, and I'm not saying that you feel like
no.
I'm abusing you, or and I don't feel like you're abusing me much. And I, you know, if we make light of it, we can color it with different colors. You know, that's the wrong thing to do in the case of what you had suffered and what your clients have suffered. Mm-hmm. But that's the birth of it, you know, is abuse in any form, and what you get used to and what you get.
I think that's a good
drawn into
a good way to say it. What you get used to, don't you find?
I think in mine. Now I'm just speaking for domestic violence. Your program, like I said, I lived it as a child. It was
right,
normal.
That's what I was trying to come to.
And you're taught you get married, and I married a bodybuilder, and it was one of the most dangerous things. And another misconception that people, no matter what happened, we also have to protect the police. And there is way to look at a woman, watch her facial features. Again, I'm talking about domestic violence and not sex trade, and watch. But police are also sometimes ambushed, trying to do the right things. And in my book, I wrote a paper when I was at SIU, how we can change that too in the training and make people aware. You know, there's things you can do. You don't approach that abuser in any way, but there is things that we can do. And you could do it by the books all you want, take the real life victims that can tell you a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my goal is.
Well, and I think sharing those stories, even on the news lately, there sex trafficking is in the news more, I think, than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. And it's not becoming okay to talk about it. So is domestic abuse. And so is even when men in places of authority.
Charlie Rose.
Yeah. Think of the list goes on and on and on of people who have crossed the line with the way they behave. And it becomes accepted for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So being aware of whenever you see something that is inappropriate, out of place, harmful, on any level is something to see if you can reach out and help that person in some way. But I'm so glad to see that this is being talked about in a national forum, because it makes what you guys are talking about, obviously you've been talking about it for a long time, it solidifies people's belief and understanding that there needs to be a deeper look into these issues, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And how do we put two and two together here and realize and make it a public issue that abuse is abuse is abuse, and that it doesn't matter what the source is, we've got to stop it. We've got to change the way, we change the behavior, change the whatever it needs to change. And I'm so sick to death of hearing on the news about people who have, like you said, taken their positions of power and misused it. And then you hear about the sex trafficking. If you stop the Johns, does that stop the trafficking? If you, what do you have to do? It's, you know, prohibition is probably the worst thing that ever happened in the United States, you know, which only fed the fuel.
Right.
It fed fuel into the fire.
And took
make
things
it worse.
Underground.
And took it underground. Mm-hmm. So how do we shine a light on it?
I think there are some people that are for legalizing prostitution, and I used to be very anti that. Now I'm kind of on the fence as I'm reading more and more about people who are in the sex trade voluntarily, and some of their rights that they wish they had. But as you spoke to a moment ago, Don, about John's being reprimanded more often, that's becoming a more and more common thing, is instead of arresting prostitutes for the work that they're doing, they're arresting the clients. I even read about a program the other day, and I wish I could remember the name, but it's educating these offenders. So they are told to sit in a classroom for weeks and talk about how they're using women as objects and hopefully changing their frame of mind. And I think that is the biggest thing that we can do, is we can educate everyone, no matter whether they are a participant or a victim or an onlooker. If we can change how we approach teaching others, that is how our society will change.
And somewhere that has to be that breaking of that cycle. Someone has to say, this was where I came from, and I don't want to duplicate it. And I think, especially in the sex trafficking trade, when you have an understanding of truly what the people own themselves, and the respect for someone else and respect for their body, how on earth could you force them into the trade itself? I can't even fathom from our little worlds how that thought could even enter someone's head.
And then what I think what you're trying to say is that you own your own body, you know, as we as libertarians believe that we own our bodies and we have a right to do with them what we want. And anything that we do with those bodies then becomes a function of society, and it becomes a social outside looking in thing where society tells us X, Y, and Z are right and what you're doing is wrong. Where do you adjust the controls for that? I mean, is there some feature by which
well, my rights end where your rights begin. You know, my body, I can do with my body anything I want to, as long as it doesn't harm you and your body and your life. So that's, like you say, when you're sitting on the fence now, we've crossed the fence and stepped over in our minds because we figure that's a safer way. Prohibition on anything doesn't work. I know this is a multiple issued conversation.
Oh, it's a conversation about the entire body of human nature.
It is. When you think about that. So when you go back to teaching, I don't know if this is anything like this taught in schools or colleges, or do you guys go in as your organization and offer any kind of workshops?
Absolutely. We will come and speak to anyone that wants us.
Anyone that asks.
Anyone that asks. We've educated police forces, law firms, teachers, nurses, students, and we actually have worked with a program that I believe is still in the Bond County school system that they are educating students on what could happen and the warning signs of their possibility of being trafficked, or if a friend is changing their behavior in X, Y, and Z way, what could be happening and what authorities to go to and that sort of thing, which is scary, but it's a necessary thing in our society mm-hmm. today for our students to be aware of this possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit more about the book, if you would, Dawn.
Okay, but before I say that, too, I want to point out what I am finding with the domestic violence mm-hmm. is people want to think it always just happens to women. Mm. It doesn't.
Good point.
And I've noticed some of them who's been a victim of domestic violence want to put the light on men. I know some crazy women, and I've seen it where they've abused the men, but they won't harm them. And I've seen men apologize on behalf of men. They didn't do anything. So I want to shed domestic violence doesn't, it knows no barrier, whether it's male, female, the sex trade, abuse, violence is violence. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I want people to have an open mind. It's not always a man.
I think that's a really good
even
point.
Even the sex trade, mm-hmm. I'm not saying, because I don't know for a fact that you would have one that would take them to another country or whatever, but I do know that some women will gather these girls and sell them to the guys.
Sure.
And I just want, when you're watching out there, don't put a label, whether it's man or woman, it's violence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Jan and I have been, I hate to bring in our television watching, our television schedule or the shows we watch, but we
but you're going to do it
but
anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. we have been watching Longmire and intentionally not binge watching it because we want to try to make it go as long as it has. And there is what can truly be defined as an evil person that Walt Longmire is trying to apprehend, and it slippery, abusive, and murderous, and you name it, any adjective that you could come up with, they have molded into this character. Now, that doesn't come because it doesn't happen. It's come because it does happen. Those things are mirrors. They are looking into a world that we know nothing about, and it happens. The things that are happening in front of us, they are calling fiction, are based on fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the frightening part, and probably one of the things that makes us come back to that show and look at it again, because we're seeing a slice of life
that we have no clue
that we have no clue about.
Right.
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 And it's from the comfort and safety of our living room. But mm-hmm. we are destroying ourselves in some fashion, and you are on the cutting edge of trying to recover us from our own destruction. Is that a good way to put that?
Sure, I'll take that. Yeah, that sounds yeah. like we need a cape. But that's fine with me.
I did want to ask you a minute about the women that have actually been in the program and have come out, and the lessons they've learned from you and the lessons you've learned from them, like we were talking about earlier, we all gain from this experience ourselves, and we're so naive in our little world, you know, and if we don't get people to shake us up from time to time, then, and that's the point I think you were trying
yeah.
to make, Don.
Yeah, yeah.
But what all have you been able to bring away in your own life, Lorna, from this experience?
Oh, wow, what a question. I have learned to love well. I thought I was doing it okay before, but sometimes there are people that have just been through so much and they have so many protective layers, yes, mm-hmm. because they have been through so much and they don't know how to, they don't trust because why would they? Mm-hmm. Their entire life has been filled with people that have hurt them. So loving even in the hard places. I think it's easy for those of us who have children or just families to just love them because you're supposed to, or friends, but then when things get hard, a lot of us back off because that can even be the healthy thing to do. But what I have learned is loving through perseverance, that that is the best thing that we can do. And is it easy? No. Does it require grit and strength and tears? Oh, yeah.
Grit is good. I like grit. I like that word, too.
And recovery from domestic violence requires what? Love, grit, strength, and tears.
Yes. And the major thing is I had three kids. So and I had to break that cycle or they would continue on. And my son, he won't, if he has a friend that's abusive to his girlfriend, he won't speak to him. He's, man, I lived through that. You don't never lay hand on somebody. Mm-hmm. And he walks away. And well, that, it starts with us. It mm-hmm. starts with the one person to make that ripple effect.
Well, good for you. So that's all I got
to
say about
it. I'm not going to tell you it was an easy road.
Well, I'm sure you could talk hours about this, yes. And we would all benefit from hearing from how you come out on the other side, I think, is the story you're trying to tell and what we can all learn from. Know the warning signs, but also how do you survive and thrive after the fact. And yes. Would one of the women that have been through the program, I don't know how many you've had to complete it yet, mm-hmm. but if you would tell us a little bit about that and what they've, we heard what you learned, what can you say that they've discovered?
So our program is ideally 2 years in length. So we have two residents that have been there over a year now. I think one is actually approaching her two-year mark in February, which is very exciting. They learn about themselves. They go through counseling. They have job skills. They further their education. So I think our biggest goal is for them to look inward, heal from all of their trauma as much as they can, and learn how to enter back into society doing whatever they want to do, whatever gifts that they have been given. That is our biggest goal and what we hope for them.
And I love to hear that it's a 2-year program. That's intensive and yet enduring. I think I would think it would take that length of time to really make a change. Otherwise, a quick 6 weeks in and out or something like that, there's too much that's gone on prior to that, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with that, which we've had residents that have stayed with us a month. We've had residents that have stayed with us for 6 months. It's really up to their discretion, what they want to get out of the program and when they're not being held, right? They're not in jail
right.
or anything like
right.
that. So when they choose that it's time for them to move on and do something else, we help them do that.
But the full program ideally goes that 2-year correct. Time span.
Cool. Have you got some website addresses that people can get to one, donate, two, help love, help three, and help whatever ways you got. Go ahead. I'll just shut up now.
Yes. I'm nodding. I'm nodding as Don's talking. Yes, I do have those. Well, our website is www.edensglory.org. So EDENSGLORY. Fairly easy. And we have a marketplace there as well where you can find Don's book. There's a little shopping cart in the bottom left corner. And then our P.O. box, if you would like to just mail us a check, is P.O. box 164 in Maryville, Illinois, 62062. Is that? And you can find us on Facebook at The Set Free Movement, Bond County.
Okay. And Don?
My whole thing is the book speaks for itself. Dream boldly, I dare you, and you see my dream. My dream is to help others, to put a stop to violence, and let's make a difference on this planet.
Cool.
And I think you said the reason the timing was so right for you was because, too, with Christmas season, you said, let's bring the magic back to Christmas.
Yes.
And we
I've always believed in Christmas magic.
Christmas magic. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of that is what we're all hoping for your endeavors together and personally, too. So thanks for joining us tonight on the podcast, ladies.
Well, I'm also hoping that others will hear this and they'll do the same thing.
And they can contact you both on Facebook. Like you mm-hmm. said, you've got your Eden's Glory, and then, Don, you're just on Facebook as Don Lloyd.
Yes.
So people can find you there. And information is in the magazine, too, in the December issue of the Owl Creek Gazette, when we feature that you guys would be on tonight. We've got a website and information there, too.
Great.
Well, let's not forget that Creekside with Don and Jan is a function of the Owl Creek Gazette magazine.
It is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. For anyone who doesn't know that, now out of the 250 three times we've said it.
We'll say it again.
That's right. So visit us at owlcreekgazette.com, and we hope to have you guys back on the show. We'll have updates
and
down the road.
Oh, and our sponsor. We are sponsored by KNR Wireless of Effingham, Illinois.
That's right.
There you go. You can find them on the web as well. You know, thanks for being here, folks. We so appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. You're welcome. And next week we will be over in Highland. We will be having our podcast over at the Tibbetts
House Bed and Breakfast.
And books.
TBBB.
Three Bs, that's right. So we're looking forward to that. And we're going to be there actually on Saturday from 2 to 4. So if folks want to stop in and check out what they've got. They've redone the house in kind of a book theme, which is really nice. And they have a little bookshop in there. So we're going to be going over doing the podcast there, staying the night ourselves in the bed part. And then we'll have breakfast the next day in the breakfast part. I'm sure we'll be reading books in the books part. So
I hope so.
We'll experience those three B's. Okay. How's that?
It'll be fun. It's a respite in Highland. It's only 18 miles away.
That's right.
It'll be
fun. A respite is needed.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm going to keep telling myself it'll be fun.
We'll have a good time. So
y'all tune in next week and listen.
That's right. We'll prove our good time. Okay, you ladies take care, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.